Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while GEICO could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, GEICO has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
You're listening to Thunderheads, a podcast for Thunder fans by Thunder fans.
Welcome to the 2016-17 Thunderheads season preview. I am Brandon Soule, joined as always by Rob Larson.
What's up?
And the dark and stormy Jason Lewis.
Yes, sir.
We have a very special guest today. You know him on Twitter as Thunder Mob, and we're going to keep his identity a bit of a secret. We'll call him Jacob for now, but I want to ask you, is it okay if we just call you Mob this whole time?
You can call me Mob. That sounds great.
Mob it is.
It might get a little confusing, though, because we got Rob.
Rob and Mob.
We got Mob.
No, it works perfectly.
Should we call you Mr. Mob? Or is that too close to Mr. Mob?
Mob.
What is Mr. Mob?
It's okay. a movie, I think, one time with Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think.
That's a real movie.
Is that right?
Yeah, he had a baby. He was a dad.
How come every one of our intros just makes us sound like the most uninformed people?
Because who's the small...
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito was in it. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
You saw
You only know that because he's in Always Sunny and you've seen every episode a million times.
Of course
Best show ever.
It's so good.
Okay, well, let's touch on the preseason game last night a little bit. Or if you're listening, it probably was two nights ago.
Or
We saw it was kind of a little bit of a dress rehearsal, as many people have called it. Saw some rotations that were regular season-like. Steven Adams was back. That was the big news for me.
Absolutely.
I mean, he kind of dominated at some points, didn't he?
He looked like a monster a lot. He smashed Cole Aldridge's face with some dunks.
And you were at the game, right, Mob?
Yeah, that was first home preseason game. So I was up there in Loud City checking it out. And it was a good time. The crowd wasn't as packed as it typically is, but it was still a good time. Good to see the new guys get out there.
I think everyone's ready for the regular season. I mean...
Speaking of Steven Adams,
okay.
Whenever we don't get to see him, and then he comes back and plays like that, just imagining life without Steven Adams is scary.
He's so team. Important to the team.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the second best player on the team, right?
I think it's easily the best player.
Completely agree with that, yeah.
I think before we actually watched this team play this preseason, you could have had a debate. Maybe it's Oladipo, you know, maybe it's Adams, and then watch the team and you're like, especially with Russell Westbrook as your point guard, who has such a rapport with his big men. Steven Adams plays such an important role on this team.
And I think the Serge Ibaka trade was maybe more about Adams and less about Ibaka, right? I mean, they have so much faith in Adams on the defensive end, getting people in the right spots, protecting the rim, that they were okay with pulling the trigger on the Ibaka trade. So he's important on both sides of the floor.
In that Ibaka trade, there was, I mean, so many calculations that went into it, too. Like you said, I mean, the faith that the organization has in Adams. And then the fact that at that time, you know, the risk of losing KD, they wanted to get younger.
Right.
So, I mean, so many different things. And I know we haven't seen this team play as a new team in a regular season basketball game, but, I mean, I think it's going to be a for sure win trade, right? It has to be.
I mean, in the near term, it might look a little like we've fucked up a bit because Serge has kind of been killing it
lately.
He's
playing well in preseason.
And I think he's gonna be awesome for Orlando because he's going to have a huge role there. He's kind of going to be like their dude.
You know what I will say? I don't know if he's going to be their dude. They got Evan Fournier.
Oh, right.
I hate Evan
Fournier. I hate that guy so much.
But I was watching a little bit of the Magic preseason game. And yes, Ibaka's been scoring a lot. He's been rebounding well. He's still Serge, though. Like, I was watching.
He can't dribble.
He can't pass. Like, he's like, oh, I don't want the ball, really, unless I'm shooting, you know?
And that's a thing that we kind of have with Sabonis. I mean, like, he knows. His feel is great.
Well, I'm sure we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's get in some Thunder preview prediction time.
Uh-oh.
So we're going to get right into it, all right? And I'm going to start right over to my right with you, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a player that's going to surprise everybody on this Thunder team.
I'm going to go with Oladipo. I think.
Wow, I was not expecting that answer. Why?
I think he's going to make a pretty decent leap this year. I think his defense is going to be on point. Like, he's kind of shown some little flashes of good defense.
Well, yeah, that's a bit of a surprising answer to me because I think that he's been a little disappointing overall.
So far in the preseason, he has, yeah, I think. But that's why I think he's going to be surprising is because people are kind of seemingly getting down on him.
Yeah.
But I think once everything gets going, once he gets a little bit more familiar with the system, I think he's going to kind of impress people.
What you got, Rob?
I went with Sabonis. And so he's been pretty good this preseason, I think, shockingly to me. But I think I answer this mostly for, I think people that aren't watching the Thunder in the preseason won't realize that, you know, he's as good as, I mean, as good as he is right now, mm-hmm. and he's going to get better this year. I didn't expect it whenever we asked this question a few weeks ago, the who would of, start. I didn't think most, there was a legit chance that he would.
Most people didn't.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and then he did, and then they were like, Brandon. Oh, this guy can play. Yeah, I just felt it once he started in that scrimmage.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was happening to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the thing about Sabonis that I feel like if you're just a box score watcher, you're not going to be impressed by him that much. But if you watch the games, I mean, the guy's solid in every facet of the game. So yep. That's what I like him. What you got, Mob?
I also went with Domantas Sabonis. I think he's going to be really good this year. Like you said, box score, he doesn't jump out at you. But just his feel for the game. You know, last night at the preseason game against Minnesota, I was focusing on him, seeing kind of how he responded to different situations, what he was doing when he didn't have the ball on mm-hmm. offense. You know, some fans might not pick up on that, but that guy, he knows what the heck he's doing out there. Yeah. He's like defensively, he's back. He's already talking. You know, he's the rookie of the team. He's back there communicating, right. Hedging on a pick and roll, rotating back, rotating over to the other big, rotating back, helping.
And that's a thing, to your point, that's a thing that this team has actually been missing defensively since Kendrick Perkins went out the door.
Yeah.
It seems like communication on defense hasn't really been there.
It's like they got rid of Serge Ibaka, so they lost the athleticism with Sabonis.
Well, he couldn't communicate.
Exactly.
But they got a guy who could actually speak English a little better.
They lost the athleticism of Ibaka. You know, Domantas isn't very athletic, but he has like double the IQ, basketball IQ that right. Serge has. Yeah. You know, he knows what the hell is going on back there. He can call it out so quickly.
It's nice to see him be able to step out and willing to shoot a three, though, too.
Yeah.
Which we saw, you know, I mean, I don't know if the percentage is going to be there this season, but the fact that I think you have to trust, or the defense has to stay honest and at least close out on him.
I think he's shot more threes this preseason than you're going to see him shoot in the regular season, maybe. Because, you know, like, there's been a couple games where he's gotten up like four or five. I don't think you're going to see that often because I don't think it's quite there yet.
Yeah.
I don't think
he's got to adjust to the extended line.
But I think you're going to see him get a lot of those Serge Ibaka pick and pops, right. You know.
I would hope
so because yeah. He looks really comfortable from that range. And like you were saying, Mob is just every facet of the game, he seems solid. I mean, and he's not great at anything yet. He's not, you know, he's not a star at anything. But that's what this team needs. The Thunder have always just had guys that are really good at
one thing,
one or two things, and not guys that are good at everything, and this guy's good at everything.
But there's going to be growing pains this season with
for
him.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be times where he's going to look, just like Cam did last year, where there's like, oh yeah, Cam is, he's a rookie. Right.
All rookies,
you know?
Yeah.
But his passing is awesome.
Like, a guy I'll throw out there is Joffrey LaVerne. I think he's going to surprise people. I think he's going to get like more minutes.
You know I like that.
I think that he kind of fits the Thunder mold too, just how he plays a little bit. You know, he's strong and... when he gets down there, down and dirty. All right, now, give me a player that's going to disappoint people. I'll go ahead and give mine first. Ersan Ilyasova. Ooh. I think he's going to be a little disappointing. I think he's going to play less minutes than people anticipated when he came in, even that I anticipated when he came in. He's a high-volume shooter, and he shoots a low-ish percentage for a big guy, and I think that's what's a little worrisome to me. What you got?
You may disagree with me a bit. I went with Joffrey LaVerne as my disappointing uh-oh. Player for the year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot of expectation of him coming in anyways.
Right.
To me, he's kind of redundant. He seems like the less skilled Enes Kanter this team.
That's a fair description.
Who also can't defend very well. Mm. I also have a hard time seeing him get many minutes with Sabonis and Adams starting, with Enes being the big off the bench, and then most likely Ilyasova might be a big off the bench. They might go small with Josh Huestis playing like a small ball four off the bench. I struggle to see where LaVerne's going to find like consistent time. And at that age, being a young guy in the league without consistency, I think he's going to struggle a bit.
I could see him competing if Ilyasova disappoints in the manner that I'm kind of talking about maybe happening. I could see him stealing a little bit of his minutes in a way that I think that if they want LaVerne, and it goes back to how I viewed Sabonis. he's part of the future in Oklahoma City. Right. Ilyasova, I don't think, has any part of the future in Oklahoma City. Well, he's a 1 year.
It also seems like Russ and Laverne have like a pretty good rapport already. Like,
and I think that's, and he's got good hands, and that's the thing, right, I like about him. And is, and you know, Russ loves guys like that. So we got Rob.
So I went with Oladipo. And this
I knew
is
that's like, where you're going
to
go.
So makes me sad.
I think it's it's totally relative to what sort of I thought he was going to be, because I had really high hopes, especially whenever I heard that the Thunder were going to get him, being that, you know, I thought he was going to be able to lock, you know, perimeter players down. I was hoping that he would be able to hit some threes, but mostly I was hoping that whenever Russ was off the court, that you would have this guy who could come in, sort of a beefed up Dion Waiters that could, you know, run that second unit.
Can actually
and so
dunk.
I think that's where I'm more so coming from. What we've seen, and obviously a small amount in the preseason, is he takes, you know, he takes sort of his shot selection.
Yeah,
is questionable.
His shot selection has been super questionable, which maybe you can attribute some of that to him not being comfortable with the team he's around.
Could.
You know, it's his second team in the NBA.
He's also had quite a few turnovers this preseason. And
that's the Thunder way.
Yeah, he's fitting in perfect.
Yeah, so I don't think he's going to be a bust, and it was a huge mistake to bring him in. I just think for what we thought we were getting, we could see less.
You don't think he's as good of a player as Serge Ibaka is right now in their career?
No.
Not as big of an impact player?
No. I don't think so.
I think it's fair to say, because if he was, that's a home run.
Yeah,
that's a home run
guy,
trade. I mean, already, right off the bat, right? I mean,
but also the fact, I mean, talking about a perimeter player versus Serge, who had his role was so limited and sort of hoping he could protect the rim and hit a three, and, you know. So, I mean, they're different guys, but yeah, I wouldn't say that.
I do think that, you know, you don't want to look too much into preseason. You're right. I think his defense hasn't been as what we expected, but it's preseason. And I think you see his flashes when you watch him.
Yeah.
And
he's pretty good at times.
Yeah, on the ball, I think he's going to be great, because especially because he doesn't have to expend energy offensively like he's had to in the past with this team. At least he might with the second unit, but with that first unit, he'll be able to play defense at a high level.
Now, I think also Oladipo's used to being the man in Orlando, right? He's the guy that had to do everything for them. There's going to be an adjustment period with him kind of learning to take a back seat to Russ, right?
For sure.
He's going from the focal point of a team to second, third option on a team. I think his defense will get there, but I think it's going to take a while, more than just preseason, for he and Westbrook to get acquainted to one another, to really be able to bounce off one another.
Yeah, and in the preseason, I thought he actually looked pretty good with Russ so far. I was mostly what I saw was whenever Russ was out, and it was sort of Oladipo that needed to carry it.
Yeah. But. Yeah, and I really don't think they've had a ton of rapport so far.
Right.
I mean, you don't really see them sharing the ball with each other too often.
I think that's really one of
the. I'm interested to see that develop a little bit.
That's when they're really going to, I think, break it open, is whenever they figure out how to both attack kind of simultaneously and
just have two balls on the court.
Yeah. They'll both each have.
I honestly don't think we could be stopped.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
What you got,
How
Jason?
Could you stop it? This is going to piss Rob off.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's answer pisses someone off.
Yeah, this is all against each other. Mm-hmm. Enes Kanter is my pick for this. Ooh. And obviously he's going to give us the usual offense that he throws out, and his rebounding is going
to
be fine.
Do you think there's people just listening to this yelling at you right now?
Mostly Rob's going to listen to it later and yell at me. That's
just
what's
so
going to happen.
So what is the reason here?
Mostly, I don't think he's going to progress on defense like we hoped. At all. I think he's going to not be playable at times again.
Wow, and not playable. That's pretty strong.
Regular season, it's not usually a problem.
Right. But you're basically, I mean, there's a handful of
Look at
of
those
teams.
Eyes.
I mean, I don't know who he wouldn't be playable against. I mean, obviously, we saw him struggle in the playoffs against the Warriors.
Right. That's pretty much all I'm talking about. I just want to beat them really bad, and I don't think he's going
to
help us.
Yeah. I mean, I could see him not having as good of a year
I hope
as
to
we
God,
need him to have.
I really hope that he steps it up. I just am not all that.
I kind of agree with you in the sense that I went back and forth, maybe putting Enes as my most disappointing player.
Nice.
Again, I think he's going to struggle on defense as well. Also, I think offensively, without the two top 3-point shooters from this team being gone from last year with Durant and Ibaka. I think he's going to struggle to find some space down there. He's going to see more double teams. And in the preseason so far, he's looked decent at maybe throwing out of the double team, but he's so set on just getting the ball in the block and just playing that old school, lower my shoulder, bang into you a few times, and hit the baby hook. And I think he might start to struggle a bit because he's not super athletic. Right. You know, his game is all about finesse.
He doesn't get off the floor. And so when he, like you saw when the Thunder were playing Dallas and Bogut's defending him, it's a huge mismatch.
Because,
and that sucks because Bogut's, I mean, Bogut's a really good defender, but he's not like, he shouldn't be able to shut you down.
He's a pretty good defender.
He's a good defender.
And I'll say this.
And he's bigger than Cantor.
Like you said, Cantor's not really athletic. So guys that are bigger than him, he's going to struggle with, really. But what I'll say is part of what you're talking about is Billy Donovan's issue. I mean, you know his weaknesses. You know what he's good at. You have to put him in better spots. And I think that also goes to lineup. You have to.
Here's the thing with Cantor.
And I'll say this. I would not like. I would not like Cantor as much if he was our only center on this team.
Absolutely.
But the fact that you have Steven Adams and you don't have to rely on Cantor's defense, you know, just that's
solely.
It. Yeah. It's not.
Rob, let me touch on your point about Donovan putting Cantor in better situations. I think when you put Cantor in better situations to succeed, it feeds right into what he does bad. That's what bugs me about Cantor. What I mean by that is he's good on the block. That's what he is good at.
Yeah.
That. But when the other team plays that, send a double, I don't know, guard every passing lane and have a good defender on him one-on-one, he can't pass out of it. He's a ball stopper. The offense just dies when he touches the ball.
Yeah, and agreed. And that's something he has to be better because they're going to double team him on the block. You have to because most centers in this league can't defend him.
What I will say about Cantor is, you're right. Most centers can't. And sometimes when you need a bucket, you can go to Cantor.
Yeah, and they did that. We saw that in the preseason games. I mean, some of them that they lost. But they at the end of the games, whenever it was, you know, second unit guys surrounding him, they would go to Cantor to try and get a bucket.
Well, speaking of Enes Kanter, which player is most likely to be traded this season? I'm just kidding. That's not my answer. But I have a feeling that might be someone's answer. Let's start with Jason.
I'm going to go with the obvious, I guess, and just say Mitch McGarry. But I think he's going to get traded for like
cut.
He might get just dropped. But if not, he's going to get traded for what?
What a pussy answer that was.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. Can we bleep that? Let's bleep that.
Nope, we're not going to. Donald.
I do.
Oh, wow, that really... What about you, Mob? Who you got? Who's gonna get? Sorry, did I cut
no.
You
it was more? Basically it's Mitch McGarry. That's
okay.
I don't really need to explain
weed,
it. Right?
Yada yada yada.
Yeah.
How are you gonna trade him though when he's suspended 15 games? You know, that's.
Well, you wait all till right. after that.
Okay, let's move.
Let's move on.
My most likely to be traded, I put down Ilyasova for a few reasons. Number one, that expiring deal of $8 million, right? Some team that's looking to clear cap space for next summer may be willing to trade for him in order to shed $8 million next season. Even though I don't feel like Ilyasova doesn't fit great on this team, for a team that feels like they need like one piece, like one thing to can push them over the edge, either is that playoff contention, is that making a run for their conference finals, is that making a run for the NBA finals, having a 6'10 guy who can take charges and is a pretty decent shooter from three, especially in the pick and pop, that's really attractive to some teams, right?
Brandon loves that he can take a charge.
Oh, yeah. No, that's one of his best attributes, right? Yeah. I mean, I feel like we talk about this every podcast, but you're exactly right. I mean, he's trade bait in a way because if he's not fitting on the Thunder very well, you can get something for him. Like, you know, if Cleveland is looking for another shooter, he could fit. Like, that's what I was saying. We talk about it every podcast. All these players the Thunder have, it's like, wow, if they played for
Cleveland,
the Cavs,
they'd be amazing. Why
but
not
my
us?
My answer is Anthony Morrow for a lot of the same reason you said about Ilyasova, which I think Ilyasova is a little better option because he makes more money, so you can get more in return potentially. But Morrow is the same thing, you know. I mean, I don't think I see Morrow on this team past this season, and so if Abrinas is looking good,
which he has been,
I think that Morrow and his twins might go down the road.
Yeah. I completely agree with Mob. I got ears on here. And I think it's because of exactly what you said. I mean, $8 million, if they can shed that, that's a little over $8 million. And like you said, I mean, I think he has more value on another team besides the Thunder because they're so full with with even bringing in Joffrey.
He does, I will say that he does seem to be like an odd man out on this team for some reason. Like, he's not playing the role everyone expected him to play in the preseason so far. And he just kind of looked awkward on the court sometimes.
And the Thunder have 50 million big men, so yeah, a few of them got to go, lot. Right?
It's so many.
That's true.
What you I saying? Ain't got no more talking.
I already did mine.
Oh, did you do yours? Oh, yeah, it was Mitch.
Mitch
Rob did.
You have to let that. Yeah, yours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I'm losing my whole mind.
You haven't even been listening.
Okay. What's next? Which player will become a fan favorite over the course of this season? We're going to start with Mob. Rob thought we were starting with Mob. Okay.
I'm going with Alex Abrines.
Ooh.
For a few reasons. Number one, I think people are going to be surprised by him. He's shooting lights out in the preseason so far. I love the guy. He's a twig out there. He's going to have to bulk up. They need to feed him nothing but steaks and protein shakes for the next 6 months.
Nice rhyme.
I know, right?
Protein shakes.
Loved it.
But the Thunder fan base has a love affair with anybody who can shoot threes.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Well,
I love Anthony Morrow.
I think any fan base seems to gravitate towards white boys that can shoot.
Oh, yeah.
You know
the Thunder fan base has a love affair with Anthony Morrow. And don't get me wrong. I love Anthony Morrow. Mm-hmm. There's a reason he's bounced around the league. There's a reason why he doesn't, you know, get these huge contracts and doesn't see playing time. But fans love that dude because he can shoot lights out.
And
because
he gets fucking pumped also.
Yeah, that is
That's
true.
A big thing.
So when Abrines starts pouring in threes, has a game where he hits, you know, 4 of 5, 5 of 6, and it's just like unconscious, I think fans are going to swoon over him. They're going to go crazy.
What do you got, Rob?
So I had down here Abrines as well, basically because of the Morrow thing. But secondly,
I'll
I
throw in while you're talking, I have Abrines too.
That's secondly, I have Joffrey.
I don't.
I had Abrines and Joffrey LeVert.
Yeah, and so the reason, I think he's got a little bit of sort of Steven Adams in him. You know how people love Steven Adams with the whole, you know, the mustache thing and the beard, whatever. The
He's not as appealing, though. Like, he's a little more like...
True.
He looks like he smells worse than Adams.
Yeah. Well,
he definitely does smell worse.
He's more foreign than Adams is.
And Adams already gave him a nickname. So, I mean, I feel like he's in, and they're going to be
pushing...
What
was the nickname? I missed this.
The big croissant. Croissant.
Okay, maybe I didn't miss that. Just let it go.
Yeah, no, but Adams already gave...
Wait, say that again?
I think they're pushing out Cantor as a duo.
Oh.
Yeah.
You
heard it here first.
The Stash Bros.
Are you starting drama right here?
Joffrey's... I heard Cantor sucks.
Oh, okay. Shit.
All right, that's what you guys said.
I said DeMontis Sabonis.
That's a good one. I mean, that's a good one.
I mean, you guys all picked for the most improved guy. Or
the only thing
surprising.
is I feel like those fan favorite guys, they win people over because of glamorous things.
He's not that.
Yeah.
Although he can do some flashy passing sometimes.
That's true. He has a nice passing game.
I think the consistency of him is what's going to win people over.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't fuck up.
I mean, there's no one else on this. Maybe Cantor, but there's no one else on the roster that people are going to be like, why is he starting? You know, like, that's not going to happen, I don't think, with this kid.
Not with him, no.
It's exciting.
He just looks really good.
What a great pickup they got.
Yeah. Now, I want to say at the preseason game last night, you were talking about Sabonis' passing.
Uh-huh.
There was a play in the first quarter where Sabonis has the ball at the top of the key and throws this beautiful little bounce pass to a cutting Westbrook, who catches it, takes one dribble for the wraparound pass to Steven Adams. In a half-full peak, I am standing up on my feet, just slow clap.
Yeah.
So happy, because when's the last time we've seen a Thunder power forward throw a bounce pass to someone cutting, seeing the pass before it even develops? You know,
it
doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Never? Yeah, I mean... this is like, let's take a little side road here. Without Kevin Durant on this team, I mean, the ball movements look pretty crisp at times in this preseason. I know that the offense, you cannot say it's going to be as good as it is when Kevin Durant was on the team, right?
Yeah.
But it's kind of an exciting thing, right? I mean, with Sabonis at the four, you have two guys in Sabonis and Adams that can come to the high post and catch a ball and have guys move off, and they can make the pass if necessary.
I completely agree with that. I think Adams' passing is underrated, and I think people are going to realize real quick, Sabonis, he can drop dimes. He's a beautiful – it was against Dallas whenever he caught the ball in the wing, head faked the three, took two dribbles to the rim, and threw a cross-court pass to Kyle Singler in the corner. I mean, his
Who
vision –
Who better to throw it to?
Exactly.
For
the
a
goat.
Made bucket. What?
And that's a thing that I felt like was – well, I feel like now kind of underrated with Sabonis coming out. Like, everyone talked about his shooting ability and his rebounding ability and just his IQ. You didn't really hear about like him being a stellar passer, really, but I mean, he's a good passer. All right, which here's the next one. What's the most interesting battle for minutes? Most interesting head-to-head battle for minutes. Before we reveal, we did a poll on this on Twitter. 46% say Abrines versus Morrow. 22% say Singler versus Huestis. 18% say Ilyasova versus Laverne. And 14% say Ronnie Price versus Samaje Christian. But, you know, that's to be determined if Christian even makes a team, you know, given the contract situation. So what do you got, Rob?
I think they got it right. I think the two guys that, I mean, Abrines and Morrow are kind of going to feel the same need. So you're going to need somebody that can come in, hopefully that they can, you're going to create plays for them to be able to shoot threes, and whichever one is making it more, that's the hot hand. That
So who's going to win that battle, ultimately? Who you got?
I hope it's Abrines.
You know, one thing Abrines has on Morrow is he can handle the ball a little bit. He's not, I mean, he's not strong with the ball, and that's going to be a problem. You know, you make any contact with him, you might lose the ball. But Morrow can't handle the ball at all.
Also, well, it seems like he moves around better.
Yeah,
like
off the ball. That's what I was going to say. And also that's defensively, like. Too, though.
Yeah.
Neither one of them right now look like they're, you know, they can play very much defense. But I think Abrines is a little more athletic, like we saw against...
That block, though.
I think it was Real Madrid whenever he blocked... I can't remember his name. He blocked a dunk.
Some Spanish name or something.
No, it was an American guy. Well, Dorsey.
He went to OSU.
El Dorsey.
Are you sure?
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. You sure about that?
Positive.
I don't know.
Don't question Rob on knowledge there.
Rob also thought Legacy Grill was open like a month ago. Well, that's a month and a half ago.
That's the only thing.
Yeah, I'm never letting that
It was.
That's the only thing we can bring back all the time.
Do you have something for this, Jason?
Yeah, I wanted to go Samaj and Ronnie Price just because I think Kristen's looked really good lately.
People are really starting to get on board with him.
I just don't really see the upside of Ronnie Price. Like,
there's not. I mean, I think that he was brought in to be a good teammate, right. a veteran leader in the locker room, right?
Yeah, I feel like Kristen looks pretty decent comparatively. Neither of them can shoot, but he just seems to move around a little bit better.
I thought Christian looked really good last night.
Yeah.
I thought What was it?
He got a lot more minutes last night.
Price got 9 minutes compared to Christian's 23, which is kind of surprising.
Billy Donovan did say after the game that he was just doing it to get Christian some minutes for some NBA talent. So he said not to put too much stock into that, but you never know.
Definitely. And I know a lot of people in the Thunder organization do think Samaj is an NBA caliber point guard, that he will be playing somewhere. I think he's looked pretty good.
Yeah, he's looked really good.
I do think that the reason they brought in Price was just as I said, though. I mean, just because he's a veteran and he won, like, best teammate on Phoenix last year. And people are saying, well, you know, Christian's better than Price. Why is Price on the team when they have this guy?
The locker room presence, yeah.
Yeah, it's
he's a Thunder
that's
guy.
Looking at it in, yeah. in a different way.
He's a Presti guy. Well,
because they also thought Payne was
well, but he's not. That's the whole point, though, right?
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
he's
but not.
It,
but only for how
4
long?
To 6 weeks.
Yeah, so it's not like the longest thing in the world.
Longer.
He could have surgery. I don't know that they need a bunch of locker room guys. The locker room is, I mean, they've got, the locker room is good, right? I mean, I don't think there's any personalities that
they don't have
you're
going
to have to worry about.
No, I don't think so either. I think that that's just something Presti's always valued, you know, having a couple guys like that, whether, you know, be Kendrick Perkins, who's
Derek
too old
Fisher.
To play efficiently anymore.
They started him.
Especially having another veteran on this team with so many young players.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
there's so many young and new players on this team that to have a veteran in there to kind of help them adjust to NBA life.
I mean, you pretty much have Collison and then you have Westbrook.
Yeah.
That's all you have, right? Anthony Morrow?
Your song.
Yeah.
Hey. Guy's got a family.
He said he was going to be traded.
Yeah,
his,
he is.
His
he's
wife,
out of here.
Though.
I say he's not.
Well, I also got Abrines versus Morrow. You got anything different, Mob?
I think the Abrines versus Morrow one is interesting. I think Abrines ultimately wins that battle, mainly because Morrow is 30 years old. We know what he brings. You know, you're not going to throw Morrow out there for 30 games and realize he's good at something that you didn't already know he was good at. Abrines is still young. There's a little more upside there just because we don't know what his ceiling is yet, right? I feel like we know what Morrow's ceiling is. We don't know Abrines' ceiling. The one I'm most interested in is Singler versus Huestis. Those two guys are going to bounce off. One guy's going to play one game, another guy's going to play another game. And I know we'll touch on Singler here in a bit, but he's looked really solid in the preseason.
Well, let's just touch on him right now, because what's going on with Kyle Singler?
He's incredible.
Right? So he's what, 12 for his last 16 from three? He hasn't hit 12 threes in the past 2 years or something like that.
I'm going to start float tanking next week, I'll tell you.
Hey,
he floats. Yeah, Jason.
Way too. He
does that make you shoot threes at an incredible rate?
No.
Have you played pickup recently?
No, I'm terrible.
Well, let's go out, because if you're float tanking, you get buckets, apparently.
I do that at the old float OKC place.
I mean, so we did a poll on this, too. I mean,
we do polls all day.
Right. We asked on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that Kyle Singler can keep up his good play into the regular season? And guess what the winning on 1 to 3? 41% say 1 to 3, which I got to kind of go with them. I mean... But, you know, it's encouraging, right? But I think the deal with Kyle Singler is that he gets intimidated by superior talent. I think that when he's on the court with guys that he's like, oh, he's better than me. He loses it a bit. And he gets intimidated.
Starts to shake.
Well, so to his, in his defense, I mean, he's in rhythm, it looks like. That, to me, looks like the best part, is that finally he sort of has seemed to find a little bit of a rhythm and maybe a flow within the offense. And so I think that's what he's been missing more so than anything else is to be able to get minutes and to be able to find sort of the flow of the game. That's the biggest issue. It's not – I don't think it's – it may be that he sort of cowers down to superior talent. But I think it's more so I think he's finally just able to get into a rhythm.
I hope so. I mean, the thing with him, even – I think he had a two-week stretch last season – that he played all right. Yeah. He played decent ball.
Didn't he get hurt or something?
And you know,
an ankle, I think.
Yeah.
And one thing I was noticing during that stretch is when he moves off the ball and he's always moving and, you know, he catches the ball and goes.
He doesn't think.
He looks effective. Yeah, he just plays with, I don't know, just kind of by instinct and not by...
In the moment,
he's not
set
yeah.
up in his head.
That's when he can be effective because he... I mean, you see it in him at times, but it's just like, what is happening to you? Do you even want to play basketball anymore? Or, you know, so I think the best thing for the Thunder is he win that job in play.
I agree.
Oh, for sure.
We've had, you know, Thunder fans clamoring all summer about how the Thunder need to go get a wing. You know, the Thunder have to go trade for a wing. They need a wing. I've said all summer, and it's, you know, some people frown upon it. The wing that the Thunder want, the guy that they want to go trade for, is on this roster. Yeah. He just needs his confidence back, and that's Kyle Singler. I know it's just preseason. I know you can't base a lot of stuff on preseason, but it's better that the shots are going in than rimming out.
Or side of the backboard.
Yeah, or just air ball completely.
Yeah,
but some of the plays that maybe he hasn't even completed, he's just attempted, shows me that he's, like you guys said, he's in a rhythm, and he's got his confidence back. He had one play a couple games ago where he was driving down the lane. I think it was the Memphis game. Got a rebound, pushed the ball, and went immediately into a pick and roll and dropped a bounce pass to somebody for a dunk, which we typically don't see.
Yeah,
two plays last night in Minnesota.
It's the first time he's ever done that.
Yeah, actually. One, that back door cut where he got up and dunked it. Massive scream after that one. And then there was another play where he came from on defense, came from the weak side and tried to meet Cole Aldrich at the summit and swat his dunk. He ended up fouling him. But you can just tell, like, he's not thinking about playing anymore. He's just playing.
Right.
And I think that's really big for him. You know, getting that confidence back, getting that rhythm.
I'm serious.
But
I was worried
about... Stop overthinking.
I was worried about him not wanting to play basketball. I was like, does he want to play basketball? Is this not where his head is anymore? Does he not really want this anymore?
Yeah,
I was worried about that.
But it's also the preseason, and it's extremely... small sample size from what we just saw all of last year.
So you're pessimistic about this.
I mean, it's just, I don't think, it's not something you can bank on.
Oh, no,
but I'm also
not
banking on Josh Huestis being able to contribute in a big way.
Not with that attitude.
I think Singler gives you has more upside at this point, whereas Josh Huestis is sort of limited in what he's going to be able
to do. Josh Huestis is going to go out there and do what he does, and he's not going to kill you. He's not going to hurt you. He's just going to be that's going to work out
right.
there, you know?
I think Josh has looked really good defensively, constantly switching. He's a wing that can rim protect. He's got a few blocks this preseason. He's athletic. You know, his offensive game he struggles with, but he's pretty athletic. He's a good defender.
Okay, next one. Let's move on. Give me an expected rotation player that's most likely to end up out of the rotation at some point. Looking at you, Jason. This kind of is related to the question we just asked about head-to-head battles.
I almost would kind of lean towards Morrow.
Yeah, I go Morrow.
I'm going to your son. What did he get? 8 minutes last night.
That's a good
point. That's where I almost went.
I think Joffrey. Like kind of tossing that around. The more that I watch Joffrey Laverne, the more I think he's going to be taking those minutes, and yeah. I like that he is.
The only thing that worries me about saying Ilya Sova is that the Thunder really do need the shooting, yeah. And so it's like maybe it's just that. Like, I mean, you look at Ursaan's per 36, and granted it's preseason, we keep having to say that qualifier, but they've been really good. It's like 19-10 per 36 in the preseason. But at the same time, he's shooting 42%, I think is what the number is.
Also, he was a -1 last night, plus minus. That's not good.
What a garbage
game. In 8 minutes? What the fuck, Ursaan? Step it up.
What you got, Mob?
Sorry.
I also went with Ursaan. I'm kind of cheating here. See? I went with Ursaan because I don't think he's going to be on the roster very long. You know, I think he'll be off the roster by trade deadline.
You can't be in the rotation if you're off the roster. That's just how bad
would you guys go with?
That's actually a true statement.
But I think that Ursaan's a good pick, too. Most important Thunder player not named Westbrook this season is, Mob?
Steven Adams.
Is this a unanimous?
I mean,
unanimous?
Yeah, I think it's Steven Adams. I think you can make a case for Oladipo that the Thunder really need him to perform well to have a successful season. But you saw this team without Steven Adams, and something big is missing when he's not on the court. Gotta have him. Okay, this is the big one.
Uh-oh.
Record predictions. I'm going to give my pessimistic one right now. I've been here all summer. All summer since the trade. All summer since KD decided to leave.
You did take a vacation, though.
What?
You said you've been here. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
43-39.
Holy shit.
What?
Are you serious?
Yeah. I think it's going to be lower than what people think. I think this seems
way lower. No, that's actually exactly what I wrote down.
What?
That's fucking weird.
I mean,
Mob, let's get out of here. These guys are idiots.
Hey, I know. I'm just trying to be realistic 43? Here.
43-39.
I think that the West is going to be a little jam-packed, though, towards, from about the fourth seed down.
Yeah.
You're going to see worse records than you normally do for a four seed.
Wow. What do you got? Please bring us back.
I have them at 46 wins for the season.
Oof.
And I think that will probably get them to the four seed.
I think you're probably right with 46.
You think the 46 wins will get them to?
I think it could.
It could this year.
I'd probably say five. Maybe five. Maybe four. Though.
I was thinking 5-6.
I got 43 wins at the sixth seed.
Yeah. Rob's about to bring in this 70-win team.
Here's the thing. I think they're going to struggle early.
That's my whole point.
I think you're going to see some real growing pains with this team. And I think they might figure it out as the season goes on, though, a little bit.
I do agree with that as well. I think once they get Cam back, they start looking a lot better as well. They need another person who can create.
Big missing piece that people are going to forget about. And when he's back, what are you about to say?
Rob's eyes
are you about to say
amazing.
52-30?
You're a liar.
I swear to God.
That's what you got?
That's really what you got?
They're going to go 52-30.
That's 3 wins less than last year.
Yeah.
According to Hollinger, that fly is hovering around you
because you're full of shit.
No way. I can't believe you guys think 43 wins is what's going to what we're about to watch.
Slightly late, but.
And that's nowhere.
What is that grab? What seed does that
fourth.
Grab? Fourth. So you got like Clippers.
I don't think if they only get 43 wins, I think they're seventh.
I got them at six with 43. I think you might see an under 500 team make the playoffs in the West this year.
Because the Utah Jazz, they're going to be better.
I think they're overrated, though.
A little bit.
What?
Of course they are.
I think they're a little overrated.
I like the Jazz. I don't think they're going to get as many wins because not having Gordon Hayward is a big knock to them, right? I mean, they stacked up on talent this summer, but no Gordon Hayward is going to be difficult for them early. So that's why I think the Thunder get the 4 seed because I think Utah loses so many early without Hayward in there.
All right, well, what's the ultimate fate of the season for the Thunder then? What do you got? You got them at 52 wins, Rob. So where is that?
53.
You bumped it up?
No, it was 53.
I got 53 wins. That's what I have.
Weren't you saying 46 when we first started talking about this, maybe a month ago?
I was, yeah.
As it gets closer, you get...
I feel like you're setting yourself up for sadness.
I'll go 52-30.
Okay, so ultimate fate of the season, what happens?
First round exit.
Oh my god!
Fuck, that's depressing.
Yeah.
So
most optimistic on the regular season, maybe most pessimistic on the playoffs.
Done. Yeah.
First round exit.
Wow.
What you got, Jason?
Second round exit.
Okay. So they're going to be a 7 or 8 seed, and they're going to get to the second round.
Of course, it's Russell Westbrook.
Okay. Wow. That seems ridiculous.
I've got them at a second round exit as well. If I got them at the 4 seed, that means they get the dubs in round 2.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if I'm going to be able to stomach that series. But
we'll all be throwing up the whole time.
I'll just be cussing at my television while throwing shit around the house.
I got him on a second round exit, too. Huh. Like I said, I think they're going to start slow.
Ridiculous, huh?
I think you're going to figure it out as the season goes on. And I think you're going to see them start to click towards the end of the season. Sixth seed, I think you're going to see an upset. They'll beat someone like the Blazers.
Yeah.
They'll take them down. They'll beat someone like the Clippers. It's going to happen, Rob. Stop shaking your head.
They'll beat the Clippers.
I don't see how you guys think Chris Paul's 43 gonna be wins like, gets them a four seed.
I didn't say I said 5-6. Rob?
Stop putting
I have Bob over here.
46 wins.
This guy's
at
the crazy
four
one.
Seed.
I mean, don't throw that shit on me.
We can do some research after the pod to see the last 10 four seeds or whatever and see how many win totals they've had.
I would love that.
I mean, Jason could probably.
Yeah, he could.
I could, but I'm not going to.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. So, what's. Well, you know what? Let's get to the bold predictions.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's got to make one bold prediction.
Bold prediction.
No one's made one yet.
Well, I had to intro into it.
I always just give mine first. The Thunder are going to make a blockbuster trade during the season.
Oh, shit. What is it going to be?
I'm not sure.
Well, that's not a very bold prediction at all.
What? That seems pretty bold. There's not that many blockbuster trades in the NBA anymore, you know?
Now, by blockbuster, do you mean one of the Thunder's main players is going out the door?
I'm thinking you might see Cantor and maybe even a young rookie thrown in there, like Abrinas, Payne. Hopefully not Sabonis, but I'm telling you, I think something could happen.
Cantor and Payne better bring in something great.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're doing that, I mean, it's
going to... I feel like Pressy wants to do this. I feel like he wants it.
LeBron James.
I don't know who the player is on the other end, but I feel like something's
going. LeBron James.
Bold prediction.
Who's next?
Bob Williams.
I'll go ahead.
Bold prediction
is that Victor Oladipo is going to be named as a reserve for the West All-Stars this season.
Wow,
I like that.
Bold prediction.
That's a bold prediction. Is that more bold than a block? That probably is. What you got, Rob?
So I have the Thunder will lead the league in assists next year.
Oh, my God.
Oh. What?
I like
didn't
it.
Even play
yeah,
it.
I like it. Fine.
I mean, I hope
this
it
is
happens.
This is what I deal with.
That would be amazing.
Okay, so they don't have Kevin Durant, who stopped the ball all last season.
But he did average 4 to 5 assists.
Okay. And also turned the ball over a lot.
But we have...
Yeah, but that doesn't count against assist numbers.
Well, it doesn't Anyways, let you get
continue,
them, though.
Continue.
So we have Victor Oladipo, who I hope is going to help with that.
How many you picture for a guy like him?
4 or 5.
Okay.
And so I think, I mean, last year they were 10th in assists. So
Sabonis and Adams.
I think it's going to be hard. And also, so Golden State led the league in assists last year.
And the Hawks are always up there.
They're going to slow it down. The bench isn't as good. They're going to have those starters going more. And so I'm hoping that they're going to come down a little bit. The Thunder are going to go up without being able to rely on
Celtics Kevin. Added Horford.
They're not going to be able to rely on Kevin Durant to sort of, you know, get them out of a hole. They're going to have to pass the ball if they're going to win. And so, yeah.
If that happens, I'll give you 52 wins. I think that could happen.
Yeah.
But I just got that's a bold prediction. Good bold prediction. Yeah. Hey, that's the name of the game.
Yeah, mine's gonna be terrible.
Oh god.
I predict that Kyle Singler is gonna go on a fucking tear for a while, and then about the All-Star break, he's gonna change his haircut back to the mop cut that looks like
and he's
gonna
lose everything.
And then his powers are just gonna whittle away.
So he's gonna go back from Trump to the to the surfer dude. He's not going to be the Trump son anymore.
Back from the Fury Cut to
he's going to
the 9-year old middle school white kid, and he's going to be terrible, and his confidence is going to go away.
Bold prediction.
So bold.
I don't know how bold that
it
is.
It was just outlandish.
Okay, you just needed something, and that's all you could come up with.
I was thinking
I
Kyle Singler,
2 seconds
most
ago.
Improved and MVP, both in the same year.
Kyle Singler.
I thought that's
could,
where you were going with that.
Kyle
one.
Kyle Singler could win most improved player. By just performing at the level he did in Detroit.
By not having a negative PER.
He was so terrible. He's way better now. Okay, let's run through these NBA predictions real quick because we got a few of them. Rookie of the Year.
I'll go. I got Chris Dunn.
You think he starts over Rubio?
I think that they want to move Rubio. And so the only way that this happens is if they somehow move Rubio, because I don't think they're going to start the rookie over him. But that's a team that's trying to obviously, with the draft,
they got a getting playoff super young.
And so I think they could be the most improved team. And with that, you would have, you know, if you can get a new point guard in there, I think he's got the best chance if Rubio is moved.
I like that. I also think they're going to try to move Ricky Rubio. I think they want Chris Dunn to start. I think they have a lot of faith in him. I think they're going to try to trade Rubio before the deadline this year.
And you can get stuff for Rubio, too, because, I mean, everyone loves a point guard that can pass. Jason, what you got?
I'm going to go with a guy who's probably not going to win in Buddy Hield.
I got Buddy. I think that now that, especially now that Ben Simmons is out.
Yeah, that's what that was going to go Ben,
I think Buddy, Buddy might start, and I mean, he's going to be the best scorer, I would think.
And the rest of the team got broken
and
legs.
And I think a lot of times, if you go look at past Rookie of the Years, add up their stats, you know, points, rebounds, assists, and whoever has the highest number usually wins, no matter how good or bad their team is.
It's true. I went with Joel Embiid, because he will qualify to win Rookie of the Year. He plays a position that is kind of dying in the NBA. He can stretch the floor. He's a good defender. He put the locks on John Wall the other day. I know it's a preseason game and it's one possession, but he can move his feet. He's pretty decent, and he's got a great Twitter game too. Like, he's maybe number two behind Enes Kanter. So
as long as his body holds up,
that's true.
I think you got a pretty good chance.
All right, sixth man of the year, Rob. What you got? I know who you got.
I got Andre Iguodala.
Oh,
I mean, not who I thought you had.
I think he's probably the safest pick.
Yeah,
I think they don't have much of a bench. They're going to rely on Iguodala. So
I got Enes Kanter.
What?
Yeah, I think it might happen this year if he stays with the Thunder all year and comes off the bench and stays healthy. I think it could happen. I think you're going to see him play more minutes than he played last year. Right? He was in the running last year.
He's going to have to play more minutes.
Right, and he was in the running last year. I think he finished third, maybe. He should have finished higher, in my opinion. I mean, he got beat up by a couple guys.
Jamal Crawford, who gets it all the time.
Yeah, I think that he might get some recognition this year, especially if the Thunder have a good, successful season. I'm probably contradicting things I said.
Funny thing is, I also had Kanter.
Kanter's going to have a role in that. So,
isn't that hilarious that we both picked Kanter, and you're the Kanter lover?
You got Kanter?
Yeah, that's very confusing.
You got Mob.
I went with Iggy as well.
Yeah. That's who I was going.
I didn't pick many Golden State
he's probably
things for this pod, and I think Iggy's going to get it. I think the national media is going to want to see Golden State at least get some sort of trophies this year, besides the Larry O'Brien. So,
what about defensive player of the year?
I got Kawhi Leonard. I think the Spurs are not going to be as good defensively as they have been. That front court with Aldridge and Gasol isn't the front court that the Spurs are used to. That's not a
Duncan's not there.
Yeah, that's not a defensive front court. And they have David Lee coming off the bench. Tony Parker is older than dirt and slow. I don't think they're going to be a great defensive team, and I think Kawhi Leonard is the best defender at the league's best position. And I think he's going to lock some people up, and he's going to be kind of the focal point of that defense.
He's scary good.
It's ridiculous.
I picked Kawhi, too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Brandon, who
I went Kawhi.
Did you?
Yeah, but I almost went Kawhi MVP, but I thought that I think the addition of Gasol is going to take some points away from Kawhi, and I think that's going to hurt him. But I think I got him for defense player of the year.
I went with three in a row. With Hassan.
Oh my God.
That's a decent pick.
Highest defensive rating of any individual player last year.
Classic run.
Leads in blocks. I mean,
yeah, but he's probably going to
top
punch
five in defensive win shares last season.
All right, so who you got for MVP?
Kawhi.
Oh,
nice.
That's a good pick. I mean, that's who I wanted to pick. And like I said, I think that Gasol trade might, or not trade, but pickup might take some points, maybe even rebounds away from him, which could hurt him. But you know, if they finish high enough, I just don't see him winning both defensive player and MVP.
Yeah,
so I couldn't pick him.
Yeah, Hassan's going to win.
I got LeBron for MVP. I think that I think that voters are going to want to vote for him because of how good he was in the finals.
Right, yeah.
And so even if he just has a LeBron year and they finish first in the East.
Does that have anything to do with you only giving them the Thunder only 43 wins and Russ? At that point, I don't think you
That's why I didn't pick Russ.
The Thunder have to finish top four to get.
Yeah,
for him to get MVP. Who you got? Has everyone gone MVP?
I went
Russ.
Klay Thompson, actually.
That's a crazy prediction.
That would have been so much better.
I saved it for this. So that's why I came up with a bullshit bowl.
That would
prediction.
Be amazing. I
think it would be ridiculous for anyone on that team to win MVP, but I think they're going to have an ungodly amount of wins again. Mm-hmm. And I think he's the best player on that team.
Ooh, whoa, wow.
That's even bolder.
But he doesn't make mistakes. Like, he plays amazing defense. He plays amazing offense. He doesn't miss shots. He doesn't make mistakes.
I will say
on
that I feel like at
doesn't
times
do anything wrong.
He's unappreciated or underappreciated.
Well, he gets overshadowed, and he's especially going to. I think if any of them are going to win, if any of those guys are going to win it, I think it'll probably be KD. But I just think Kevin Durant and Steph are going to overshadow Klay.
I think if Klay Thompson was on any other team in the league, he's by far the number one go-to guy. My MVP, I went with Russ. Even though I don't think the Thunder are going to finish top three in the West or hit 50 wins, I think his per 36 numbers are going to be absolutely bonkers. I think he's going to be a 28, 10, and 8 guy per night. He's going to have the ball in his hands. He's going to have the ball in his hands all the time. His passing just in this preseason so far just looks ridiculous. That dude, if you watch his highlights from his second year, he's just gunning balls to the wall. You watch him run a pick and roll now. For the most athletic guy in the league, he is so patient.
He's
it's
really
ridiculous.
Learned how to control his pace.
And definitely, and he understands his teammates so well. It's every time in the pick and roll, he's just lingering, just waiting for Adams or just waiting for Cantor to take that one extra step to get open, to open that passing lane. I know a bunch of people say he's not going to get as many assists with KD gone. I think he could get more. I think those big guys are going to really feed off of that pick and roll.
I think he's going to need to for them to win 52 games.
I don't think that's not a concern for me. I mean, I think Russ being able to do that is, I think, very realistic. It's the other pieces that we're worried about to get to 52.
My dark horse MVP, Paul George. I think that if they grab a 2 seed in the East, he might lead the league in scoring this year. I think that no one's really looking at him. I think he has a chance to lead the league in scoring.
I think he's slept on. He's so good.
He's so good. Yeah, my dark horse.
Let's trade Cantor and Payne for Paul George.
Absolutely.
I'll throw in a couple picks.
Bye. All the picks. My dark horse is Dame Lillard.
Yeah, no, that's a good pick too. Especially if I think that they're going to be better than the Clippers.
I do too. That's why.
All right.
Oh, by the way, I looked it up. No one's grabbed a 4 seed with that low amount of wins since 2007-2008 season.
Who was it?
It happened in both conferences that year, actually. Cleveland had 45 wins as the 4 seed, and Utah... Oh, no, it didn't have... No, I lied.
So it wasn't in the West that year?
Incorrect.
No, just the East. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
My dark horse MVP, I went with James Harden. I think the Rockets aren't going to be great, especially defensively. I do think they'll win a decent share of games because of offense. And that system with D'Antoni, Harden's going to be the black-bearded Steve Nash of those Suns days. He's going to rack up so many points and so many assists. Putting the ball in his hand more and running a faster-paced offense, I think is just going to – he's going to tear the league up.
Was that black-bearded or the black-bearded?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, agreed.
No, I completely agree. Harden. This is a great choice.
Do you have a dark horse?
Said it already. Dame Lillard.
Oh, I thought you were picking him for your MVP.
Does it make you guys sad to know that we traded the guy that we're talking about, a dark horse MVP, for Jeremy Lamb and a rental of Kevin Martin? It did end up getting Steven Adams.
And Mitch McGarry.
Mitch McGetty.
Oh, yeah.
Abrinas was a part of that, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Is Mitch McGarry smoking a blunt right now?
Probably.
I think yes.
He's actually back there.
I think that pick was a part of the trade.
Oh, maybe.
We should probably not have two conversations at the same time. That's probably not the way to do it. Oh, hey, guess what time it is? It's time to announce the winner of hashtag Night of Thunder. Oh, we're giving away 2 shirts from Thunder Tee, 2 tickets to opening night or opening home night via Thunder Mob right over here, and dinner for 2 to Legacy Grill.
That is a huge, huge deal.
It absolutely is. And the winner is
Thanks, Don.
You say it, Mob. You ran this whole thing. You're the brains behind it.
I don't have it pulled up, so you go ahead.
Okay, well,
kidding.
It's Cody Mullins. I don't have his Twitter handle, but congrats, Cody. You're gonna have an awesome time. We're gonna meet you for dinner.
Yeah, you have to have dinner with us.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
That's gonna be awkward
when you see the 4 guys sitting behind you at your booth at Legacy Grill keep peeking over.
So we
definitely
sit
not
on
us.
Same side.
All of the four booth, of us, one side of the booth.
We're just saving a spot
we can
for
look.
You. Time to get to some Twitter questions.
Tweet.
Oh, we got the mob in on them.
Yeah.
All right. At Nat3004, Who on the roster besides Robertson can guard the superstar wings, i.e. LeBron, Kawhi, the Snake, Kevin Durant? And could that be a serious issue?
I mean, hopefully Oladipo can guard somebody like that.
Like LeBron James?
Yeah. I mean, nobody else. I mean, Kyle Singler's not coming out there. You could say Josh Huestis, but that's not.
No, that's not. I mean, honestly, those players he listed, Robertson, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
Robertson, yeah.
You don't need another player.
Well, you're going to need somebody else to be
relieve,
out there.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, Oladipo's, I mean, even as he is now, I think you can.
I think you can maybe put Oladipo on those type of guys in stretches.
Yeah.
Mainly against a guy like Kevin Durant, I think Oladipo can push him around a bit because he's so always, stocky.
He's
you know?
Struggled with smaller, stocky guys.
And exactly. He can steal the ball from him instantly.
Do I want Oladipo guarding those guys 30 minutes a night? No. He's giving up 4 or 5 inches to each of them, right? Robertson is your best bet.
Yeah, he is.
But I think for stretches, you can put Oladipo on somebody like that.
Yeah, just to get
that.
By.
Side question. How do you like the Thunder's switchability this year as opposed to last year? You know, you
way
had
less.
Surge. Like, is it less? I mean, I think they might have done a good job sustaining that ability with the roster a little bit with Oladipo because I think that you're going to see he has an ability to guard different positions. And Sabonis, I know he's a rookie, but...
I think you lost something because last year you had Kevin Durant and then you
Surge.
Also had Deion Waiters who could... Yeah, and Surge, but you had Deion Waiters who could come off the bench and sort of still get you by, and you've lost that now with Oladipo starting.
You really miss Waiters, don't you? You're going to miss him.
No. I don't.
You're not going to miss him when he's out there missing dunks all the time like he did in preseason for the Heat.
If you go back and watch playoff games from last year, though, and how he was playing was fun.
It was fun.
It was fun.
I think the switchability of the guards still exists. I think Russell Westbrook and Oladipo in any given possession can switch on to almost anybody in the league, even a big, just because they're so feisty. They want to get physical.
Strong,
they want to push people off.
They're junkyard dogs,
now,
as Speedy would say.
The bigs, maybe not so much. You know, I don't trust Sabonis being switched out on a point guard multiple possessions in a row.
Especially not a good one.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
I think
in the future, Sabonis is going to be a guy you can rely on to do some stuff like that a little bit because he's got good fundamentals. And
he moves his feet really well.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So
yeah, okay. like you disagreed with everything we said.
Okay, at Matt Harrison 51. Over under, Russ assists on half of all the big Kiwis' field goals this year.
I mean, that's a fair question, I guess. I don't know the number from last year.
Under?
I'm going over.
Over?
Over. That was confusing.
I think I'd say under just because of his offensive rebounding.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Thanks for letting me get my point across.
Most of Adams' minutes will come with Westbrook on the floor.
Yeah.
And I don't think Adams is as good as creating his own shot as Cantor is. So I think a lot of his buckets are going to come in the Westbrook-Adams pick and roll.
Lobs. And,
I hope it's under because I hope Oladipo develops some chemistry with
that'd
him as
cool.
well. You know, the alley-oop pick and roll game. That would be nice.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, this one's tough. At Ben 3, would you rather Avery Bradley on the team? Or Oladipo. I think he meant to put have in there, but he didn't say that
right.
word, so that's fine.
Thanks for working through that.
I had to help him out.
How old is Avery Bradley?
That was my question.
Why don't you look that up, Brandon?
27, 28, I think.
I was going to guess 27, too. Sure. Let's take a look. He is 25.
Wow, you guys
Oh, wow. Right. I'm still going Oladipo.
I think I go Oladipo.
I would probably take... It's close.
I think
Oladipo's
better offensively, and that's why
it's Depot for me because of injury worries with Bradley, because he's always hurt.
I'd probably take Bradley.
I think he's Oladipo also
he
because
hates Oladipo so much.
Yeah,
Depot's ability to handle the ball,
I think is
way better than Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley may shoot the three ball a little bit better.
And that's what this team needs.
I think they're about the same defensively.
I don't think it's such an improvement over Oladipo shooting the ball that it's something that. It's not a drastic improvement over Oladipo.
I would take the dip in Depot's 3-point shooting and then the addition of his ball handling.
Yeah. I don't know where Bradley is, but Oladipo for his career, the 3 years has been at 34% from three. So I don't know where Bradley is, but
well, we can find that out. But
Brandon can probably look it up.
I would expect he's still under 40, but pretty high 30 is what I would guess.
You really think he's that high?
38,
39. 30s to 40s is where you're going.
Let's see. For his career, 36%.
Oh.
Last year he shot 36, 35. Before that, he shot 39.5 3 years ago.
So I think for me, I think he's a little bit better of a defender. And I think what the Thunder need, we need to have 3-point shooting. And
you know, he scores more than I realize he does too. I mean, he averaged 15 a game last year. Only 2 assists, so he's not. You know, he's been listed as a point guard in the past, and he doesn't really create plays.
Oladipo last year was 16 points per game.
Yeah, and more assists than 2 a game.
And that comp is pretty comparable. You know,
yeah.
It's pretty close. It's that's interesting. Question.
Last one here.
Okay.
At John _Mitchell3. Are you guys ready for this?
We're waiting on you.
I'm not sure.
Does Steph Curry wish he was as good of a shooter as Kyle Singler?
Yes.
Of course.
He should.
I wish I was as good as God.
Oh,
wow.
Boom. Prediction.
Again.
That makes zero sense. Hey, let's get to some notes, huh?
Let's. Yes.
Notes! Okay, what do we have here? Russell Westbrook's new shoe, the 0.2. His new Jordan released over the weekend. You guys seen him? Seen him?
I haven't seen him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He did it here. I think that's cool. I love that he releases his things here.
It is cool. What do you think about them?
They're okay.
I'm not
going to purchase them.
Are these the ones you posted that were
we
like
all said
camo?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. They're his lifestyle shoe, not a hoop shoe. So
yeah.
I love Russell Westbrook. Not a big fan of his fashion.
If they were
hoop shoes, I'd be all over
them. I like this first shoe better than I like this second.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about buying his first shoe. It's cheaper now.
that's just your style. You're like, you know, now it's out of style.
That's kind of my thing.
No, it's still actually getting on. Russell Westbrook again. He was announced first in the starting lineups last night in the first true home game. So I guess that's how it's going to be. He's going to keep being announced first.
That's what I predicted before.
I love it. I love it.
You don't want it to be last?
I don't want it to be last. I think making it last seems like we're trying to make up for the absence of the snake. And why?
I get that too, but I also think that's looking too far into it because every best player in history is always announced last. And it's such a cool effect because it gets the crowd rowdy at the end of the starting lineups going into the tip. And that's why I like it.
Who was last night?
Was it Adam?
Robertson last night.
No, that shouldn't happen. Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
Let's go to
Adam.
And
Russ did the typical dance while they were announcing the last guy and the hip bump.
Yeah.
All right, more Russell Westbrook because this is just a Russell Westbrook podcast. He's on the cover of the November issue of GQ magazine.
You guys check out that article today?
I did.
It's pretty good.
It was pretty good. There was a point, though, it said that he shut down Steph Curry in the West.
That was a little weird.
You don't have to like embellish it that much. Like, come on.
They've kind of gone.
Yes, he outperformed him, I would say, but come on. He didn't shut Steph Curry down.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
I mean, you don't really do that, right?
Yeah, I don't think that's a thing you can do.
As much as I don't really like the Golden State Warriors, come on.
The who? Never heard of them.
Okay, Alex Green has suffered a right hip contusion versus Minnesota.
6 to 8 weeks, huh?
He bruises easily.
Sorry, that was a Perry Jones III throwback to his right.
Hey, he's trying to come back in the league too, Perry Jones.
Yeah. That's true.
I think Denver was looking at him.
Yeah, so
they like a guy that's invisible on the court. Sign him, go for it.
Damn,
he was sorry.
I love you, Perry.
Shade, son.
He was the number one pick in the D League draft. Was it last year? I think it was last year.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was over playing in Russia.
And Justus was like taken in,
after that.
Was that the same job?
No one knows.
I don't know either.
Who cares?
Okay, we mentioned it earlier, but Anthony Morrow having twins.
Exciting.
I don't know if they had them yet or not.
I thought they did.
They did have the twins, right?
I just think it's a huge mistake to have children.
Oh, wow.
I completely agree.
I'm sorry, Rob. I'm not saying it's your fault.
Wait, no.
It was an accident.
It is.
You got a good kid, though. You know, you're one
he's
of the
best.
Yeah.
He's one of the best kids, actually.
One of the lucky ones.
I don't know, but seriously, I don't have twins. And so I barely had one that I could take care of. Whenever they're babies, it's impossible. So I don't know how he's going to... Well, probably he's going to hire help, which I couldn't afford.
Right.
But
that's true.
Yeah.
You mean like someone else is going to raise his kids?
I
didn't say that
at
all.
They better not be.
No.
I had a dream last night after the game. Maybe it was a nightmare.
It's a nightmare, yeah.
My girlfriend gave birth to twins. And
definitely a nightmare, yeah.
Terrible.
Was
you know, I go
C-section?
Home and... she just showed up with two babies.
Too much information. I want.
I go home and take a 2-hour nap and eat Teddy Grahams. I am in no way, shape, or form ready to raise a child, much less twins.
But that's how it happens, right? It just springs on you. You're like, well, guess I got to change everything now. Yeah,
guess I got to be an adult.
Yeah. Lucky for me, I'm sterile. So
yeah, same.
Wow.
Congrats to Anthony Moore, though. That's awesome.
I thought you were going to say congrats to me.
Congrats to you
sterile.
Too.
No,
but good job.
All right.
Proud of you, man.
Hey, follow us on Twitter at OKC Thunderheads and follow our buddy here, Thunder Mob at ThunderMob405. You probably already do, but if you don't, give him a follow. Subscribe on iTunes.
And that Thunder T guy.
Yeah, and Thunder T, who participated in the Night of Thunder with us. Well, I think it's just at Thunder T, right?
Today. At Thunder T today.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, way to go.
Today. Do that today.
Do it today, and it's today.
Check out OKCThunderheads.com. You can also find us on Facebook, SoundCloud, Google Play, all that good stuff. Thanks for listening to the season preview. And as always, Thunder up. Perfect.
I've switched a lot of things in my life, but it's never worked out. I switched to being a vegetarian, but ate more bacon than ever. Every time I switch lines at the grocery store, I never pick the fast one. But one thing that totally worked out is I switched to Metro PCS and got a free Samsung Galaxy.
Make the right switch too. Move to Metro PCS and get a free Samsung Galaxy J7 with a huge 5.5-inch screen. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Plus sales tax. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details, terms, and conditions.